Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing today? God bless you. God is good. All the time. Let's welcome our online audience. Let's make some noise for those watching online. Welcome those that are watching online. I want to invite everybody to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is going to be the focus of our study this morning. Genesis is all the way to the left of your Bible. If you can't find Genesis, we're going to have to pray for you right now. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is going to be our focus this morning. As you're turning there, a group of us brothers went paintballing yesterday, and just want to let you know, I don't know who that brother is that shot me in the head, but I'm looking for him all day long, and I want to let you know that I told my wife, she looking for you too, so somebody got to come to the altar today. Genesis 1. 26, when everybody's there, say amen. I'm going to read it. It reads like this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." Someone say dominion. Dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth. Notice that it says over all the earth. And over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Someone say image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them. Now, pause for a second. I don't want us to kind of quickly pass through that because there's power in that. You got to remember that God just created the worlds with his what? His word, right? He just created Genesis chapter 1. He just created the worlds with his word, right? So when you understand that, you understand how powerful God's word is, right? His word has creative power. His word has dynamite in it, right? His word has supernatural power in it. So I want you to catch this, that God just got done creating the whole world and the galaxy with his word. He creates man and woman, and then he turns around and makes them an object of his word. He turns around and he kind of like shoots them with his word. Because I want you to notice it says, then God said to them. They're about to get blessed right now. They're about to receive from the powerful word of God. And notice what he says. Notice what he says. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Someone say fill the earth. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you teach us this morning. Give us understanding of your word this morning, and if need be, correct us this morning. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. So for the first 8 weeks of 2019, we're studying from the subject of pressing into the kingdom. Someone say pressing into the kingdom. And we learned last week that in the kingdom of God is our inheritance. Someone say inheritance. That if you're a child of God, you have something. God has something for you. God has something for you. It's called your inheritance. That every child of God has an inheritance from God. For example, in James chapter 2. Verse 5, listen to what the scripture says. It says, listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs, someone say heirs, heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him. Anybody grateful that God chose you? Anybody? God chose. He didn't choose you because of you. He chose you because of him. And when God chose us, he made us heirs of his kingdom. In other words, we have an inheritance for us from God. And we learned last week, my brothers and sisters, that our inheritance covers three areas. It covers three areas. It covers all that God wants us to be, all that God wants us to do, and all that God wants us to have. Those are the three areas that our inheritance covers. All that God wants us to be, all that God wants us to do, and all that God wants us to have. And if you remember last week, I challenged you, don't focus so much on what God wants you to have. Focus on who God wants you to become. As you focus on who God wants you to be and what God wants you to do, what God wants you to have will chase you down and slap you upside your head. Anybody picking that up? As you prayerfully seek and walk in who God wants you to be and do what God calls you to do, the blessings of God hunt down that particular person. And so we are pressing into our inheritance in 2019. We're pressing into the kingdom of God. We are pressing through obstacles. We are pressing through distractions. Because remember, if the enemy can't stop you, he'll distract you. We are also pressing through roadblocks. Has anybody ever hit a roadblock in the last couple weeks? How many of you know the enemy puts up roadblocks? But there's roadblocks in between who you are and who God wants you to be, between who you are and what God wants you to do, and we got to press through those roadblocks. Don't allow the roadblocks to hold you back. Amen? Now, in studying about the kingdom of God and our inheritance, it's important for us to go all the way back to Genesis to discover God's original kind of launching of his kingdom. That's why we're going back to Genesis for a couple weeks, because it's important for us to understand God's original purpose and plan for mankind and his creation. We gotta go back. Someone say go back. Now, as we go back and study God's original plan for man and his creation, I want you to remember the principle I gave you last week. And this principle, I want you to kind of like keep it in your mind and process it as we study together God's word. But remember the principle that I gave you last week, and it is this. If we don't know what's supposed to be, we won't know what's missing. I want you to keep this principle in your mind as we study the word together, because the reason why we're going back to Genesis is we could discover what's supposed to be. Are you following along? Because if you don't know what's supposed to be, we won't know what's missing. And remember, we learned last week, you could be robbed and don't even know it. You could be robbed and don't even know it because you don't know what's supposed to be. There's so many Christians walking this world and they're emotionally excited and they're cheering things on and they don't even know they've been robbed. They're not walking in who God wants them to be. They're not walking in what God wants them to do, and they're not possessing what God wants them to have, yet they're celebrating and they don't even know they've been robbed. Are you following along? So we need to keep this principle. If we don't know what's supposed to be, we won't know what's missing. And my hope is that through our study on these Sundays, is that as we study the kingdom of God, we will become awakened in our souls to how it's supposed to be. That's my hope. That's my prayer for you and I, is to become awakened in our soul for how it's supposed to be. And if we're ever going to fully surrender to Jesus, if we're ever going to fully surrender to Jesus, we need what some call a crisis of faith. Someone say crisis of faith. If we're ever going to fully surrender to the Lord Jesus, we all need to experience a crisis of faith. And a crisis of faith is the moment that comes upon your life where you have an awakening in your soul and you say, man, my life that I've been living is not how it's supposed to be. And therefore, I'm going to awake to God's kingdom in my life. That's a crisis of faith. Where we say, man, the life I'm living now is not how God intended me to live it, and I need to get lined up with his kingdom. I need to get lined up with the king. And the crisis of faith is not just for unbelievers. There are many Christians today who need a crisis of faith to get out the lobby of the kingdom of God. Many Christians need a crisis of faith to get them out the lobby of the kingdom of God, because there's too many Christians living in the lobby of the kingdom of God. If you could see the lobby of the kingdom of God, we're like sardines up in there. We're like this. We can't even move because there's so many people that stay stuck in the lobby for 20 and 30 years. And so we need a crisis of faith, and somebody needs to wake up and say, man, God didn't design for me to stay in the lobby. He didn't design for me to just live on the first floor of the kingdom of God. Somebody got to find an elevator around here. Touch your neighbor and say, get out the lobby. Get out the lobby. Get out the lobby. Get out the lobby. And the reason why a lot of people are still in the lobby of the kingdom of God is because the world has put them to sleep. The world has put them to sleep. How many know the world has a way of massaging us? Right? We get massaged by the things of the world. We get massaged by money. We get massaged by the luxuries of this world. We get massaged by novellas on TV. And next you know, we're... My prayer is that some of us get woken up to the things of God. Wake up, my brother. Wake up, my sister. There's something to be done in our generation. How do you know? How do you know that a Christian is in the lobby of the kingdom of God? Like, how do you know if you're in the lobby of the kingdom of God? Well, there's telltale signs, right? They're not passionate about their faith. They're not passionate about the kingdom of God. They're not pressing into their inheritance. They kind of just settled into what this world has to offer. They're caught up in the things of this world. They're saved, but they're in the lobby. They're saved, but they're in the lobby. That's how you can kind of tell who's in the lobby. They're not giving their all to the king. And so we're kind of, if you hang around me, I'm pushing you out. I'm pushing you out. You might as well have a parachute, because I'm pushing you out. So last Sunday, we learned a couple things that I want to kind of get us up to date on for those of us that we got to kind of just get on the same page. And we learned last week in Genesis chapter 1 a couple things. Number one, we learned that we were created for royal rule. Someone say royal rule. That's one of the things we learned last week, that when we're created in the image of God and we're created with dominion, that word dominion means royal rule. And we were born to rule and not to be ruled. We were born to rule and not to be ruled. Like, we are not created to be slaves to anything in this world. So why am I bringing up this subject of being created with royal rule? Is because so we could examine our life, and if we are enslaved to anything in any area of our life, we know that's not supposed to be. If you're enslaved to addiction, that's not how it's supposed to be. If you're enslaved to having a bad attitude with your spouse, that's not how it's supposed to be. We are to rule and not to be ruled. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? We also learned that we were created for royal environment. Royal environment. We learned last week that when God created the garden in Eden, that garden wasn't about tomatoes and carrots and lettuce. Remember that? No, in the ancient days, gardens were for kings and queens. Not everybody had gardens. They were for kings and queens. So when God creates a garden in Eden, what he's doing is he's setting up Adam and Eve to rule as a king and queen on this earth. That we were born to be kings and queens on this earth, and we were born to be royal representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now that's a powerful revelation for us to have. And some people last week, they said, you meant to tell me all my life I was supposed to be a king? Yes. Wake up to your royalty in Christ Jesus. Remember, we learned that if the enemy could stop you to thinking in terms of royalty, he could stop you from acting in terms of royalty. That's why he don't want you to know who you belong to. He don't want you to know who you are in Christ. Because if he could stop you from thinking in terms of royalty, he could stop you from acting in terms of royalty. This morning, I have one major idea for us that I want to kind of develop and kind of burn into our spirits this morning. And the big idea for this morning is we were created for royal purpose. Someone say royal purpose. We were created for royal purpose. And I see this all throughout the scriptures. It starts in Genesis, but when you talk about purpose, I want to kind of set this up. There are two sides to purpose. Two sides to purpose. There's what we call a common purpose, and common purpose is what we're all born to do. There is common purpose in which the scriptures teach what we are all born born to do. And then there's what you call specific purpose. Specific purpose. Specific purpose is your unique purpose for what you were called to do in this earth. So are you picking up what I'm putting down? There's two sides to purposes. There's our common purpose, and then there's our specific purpose. Our common purpose is what we're all created to do. Our specific purpose is God's unique purpose for our individual lives. So today what I'm doing is I'm introducing you to part of our common purpose. Part of our common purpose, because we will not fully walk in our specific purpose if we don't understand our common purpose, because we're designed to live out our specific purpose in the context of our common purpose. Anybody pick that up? I'm rhyming and rapping today. So today, again, I'm introducing you to part of our common purpose, and I find this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28. 1:28. Let me read it again, because this verse, I could write books on this verse. This verse is full of power, it's full of potential, and it gives us our original kingdom assignment. Listen to this, Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that's on the earth. Now, scholars refer to this verse as our cultural mandate. Someone say cultural mandate. They refer to this verse as our cultural mandate, and the basic definition of the cultural mandate is like God's original job description for mankind. So when we look at that verse, it is our original assignment. Let me back on up. It is God's original job description for us. That's what Genesis 1:28 is. It's God's original job description for mankind. Did you know that you come with an instruction manual? Did you know that everybody is born with an instruction manual? You know what it's called? It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible, right? The Bible is your instruction manual, and it gives you our purpose in this world. My brothers and sisters, purpose is so powerful that if you don't know your purpose, you'll abuse your life. If you don't know your purpose, you will abuse your life. If you don't know your purpose, you will waste away your life. If you don't know your purpose, you'll live a frustrated life. And the reason why I bring this up is because I'm trying to save some of us from living little bitty lifestyles. I'm trying to save some of us from living frustrated lifestyles. Almost every week on Facebook, I see somebody post a post in which they express how much they hate their life. Almost every week, someone expresses some type of post about how they hate their job, they hate their life, and life is such a bummer, and life is such a drag. Almost every week I see a post like that. And you know why they're expressing that? It's because they have not discovered, nor are they walking in, their purpose in life. They haven't discovered their purpose. They haven't discovered God's purpose. They're not walking in their purpose. You could have the most worst situation and environment in this world, but if you discover your purpose, it will always add a level of excitement and fulfillment to whatever situation you're in, because you know you're walking in your purpose. You know you're walking in your purpose. I remember I did 3 years in the youth prison, and they abruptly transferred me to adult prison. I was supposed to stay another 4 years in youth prison, but they shut it down. They put me in a room for a month, and then they transferred me to the adult prison. But while I was in that room for a month waiting to go to adult prison, I began to seek the Lord, and I began to pray, Lord, what is my purpose for going to prison? What is my purpose for going to adult prison? Because I ain't gonna lie, there was a level of fear and intimidation that comes upon your life when they say you're about to go to prison. Don't let me fool you. It doesn't matter how buff you are, how many tattoos you got on you, you're gonna be scared a little bit. Hello, somebody. So I began to seek the Lord in that room. Lord, what do you want me to do? Why am I going to adult prison? I'm supposed to stay in youth prison for another 4 years. Why am I going now? And as I sought the Lord began to reveal to me my purpose for him sending me to adult prison. And he put it in my heart. He said, Brian, I'm sending you there to spread the message of my revival in prison. I'm sending you there to tell broken men that I'm still healing men, I'm still saving men, that I'm still on the throne, and if you call upon my mighty name, I will save you, deliver you, heal you, and fill you with my Holy Ghost. When I discovered my purpose, and they sent me to state prison, man, I'm telling you, even though I still had a level of fear, I also had a level of excitement and fulfillment, because now, even though I'm chained up, I'm looking for the hand of God. I'm looking for the miracle of God. I'm looking for God to act, because I'm walking in my purpose. When you know your purpose, it doesn't matter what environment you're in. You walk in power and might because you're walking in God's purpose for your life. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. Now listen. Genesis 1:28, it teaches us that we are to be fruitful, we are to multiply, we are to fill the earth and subdue it. Fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue. Now for years when I read this verse, I thought it just meant to have lots of babies. For years I read this verse, man, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. I'm like, woo, man, Lord, get ready. We're about to have lots of babies. But that's not what that verse entails. That's not what that verse is all about. Let me give you a summary of what this verse really means and the takeaway from this verse. This verse, again, gives us our original assignment, which was to spread God's glory across the earth. That's what that verse is teaching us. When it says to fill the earth, multiply, when it says subdue, it's talking about spreading the glory of God throughout this earth. How do you get that? Well, you got to remember that God is talking to Adam and Eve, who are created in his image and his likeness and have dominion and are containers of his glory. We were originally created as containers of God's glory. So when he said to multiply and he said to subdue, he wanted to spread the environment of Eden all around the world. Listen, when he created the Eden on the east side, or the garden on the east side of Eden, it wasn't meant to stay there. It was to start there, but it was to spread all throughout the earth. And it was our mandate to do it as image bearers of God. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Remember, we are his kingly representatives, and he wanted to extend the garden across the earth, and God is trying to simultaneously spread his kingdom across the earth. This is why, one of the reasons why Jesus prayed. He actually taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is he trying to do? He's trying to spread the glory of the Lord, the kingdom of God, the presence of heaven across the earth. And that was our original job assignment. Now, when you learn that our original assignment was to spread God's glory across the earth, the next question you have to ask is, well, what is God's glory? If I'm called to spread God's glory, what is God's glory? I'm gonna do my best to try to help you understand to a certain degree what God's glory is about. I'm gonna give you a definition, but listen, you need to know ahead of time that the glory of God is one of them words that is impossible to define. It is so deep that it is impossible to define. Whenever you go to trying to describe who God is and what God is about, that's impossible to do, because you can never limit God. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So it's a word that's impossible to define, but we have to take a stab at it anyways. We got to take a stab at it anyways, because we don't need somebody else trying to define it for us. So listen to this. Here's the definition of God's glory. God's glory is the radiance of his infinite beauty, greatness, and perfection. It is the radiance of his infinite beauty, greatness, and perfection. Now, let me break this down a little bit. God's glory is the radiance. When you think of radiance, what do you think of? Radiance is something you could see. Radiance is something you can feel, right? You can feel radiance. You could see radiance. And so the glory of God is when God goes public with his beauty, with his greatness, with his perfection. The glory of God is when he goes public with his infinite worth and his infinite value. Whenever God goes public with his infinite value or his infinite worth or his beauty, that is the glory of God. It is going public with who God is. Are you following along? Let me try to break it down a little bit better. Listen to this. Holiness is who God is on the inside. Okay? Holiness is who God is on the inside. But when who God is on the inside becomes public, that's his glory. I'm going to say that again. Holiness, greatness, beauty is who God is on the inside. But whenever what God is on the inside becomes public, on display, radiant, that right there, my brothers and sisters, is the glory of God. Now, let me give you this verse. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, when the prophet Isaiah sees this vision of God sitting on a throne, listen to what he says. He says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, listen. He says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You would think he would have said, "The whole earth is full of his holiness." But he doesn't say that. He says, "The whole earth is full of his glory." Why? Because the earth is going public. It is displaying who God is. It is displaying the beauty of God, the perfection of God. And whenever the beauty of God or the perfection of God goes public, that's the glory. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? So listen, if we're called to spread the beauty of God, the greatness of God, the perfection of God, we got a heavy calling, my brothers and sisters. We got a calling to spread the infinite worth and value of God in this world. We have a calling to make God famous in this world. Not you, not me, but God. Our calling is to make God famous in this earth. Is to make his name ring loud on this earth. If that is our calling, if we're called to go public with who God is, then how do we spread the glory of God? How do we spread the glory of God? I want to give you three ways in which we spread God's glory. Three ways, all right? Number one, we go public with your adoration of God. How do you spread God's glory? Number one is you go public with your adoration of God. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there, but Psalms 145, verses 1, 6 through 7 says this. He says, "I will tell of your greatness, my God and King. People will tell about the amazing things you do. And I will tell everyone how great you are. They will talk about your goodness and sing about your justice. You notice them words? I will tell, I will talk, I will sing about who you are, God. What are they doing? They're going public with the greatness of God. They're going public with the greatness of God. Whenever you go public with the greatness of God, you are displaying the glory of God. So going public with your adoration of God spreads the glory of God. You could do that at work, on the computer. Turn around to your neighbor and say, "Hey, do you know how good God is? Do you know how great God is?
Do you know how awesome God is? You could do that walk in the street. Hey, do you know how great God is? Do you know how good God is? What am I doing? I'm spreading the glory of God. I'm going public with my adoration. I'm going public with who God is. This is why the Bible says that the sun declares the glory of the Lord. The moon, the creation declares the glory of the Lord. Listen, don't remain silent. Open up your mouth and go public with your love for who God is. Go public, verbalize it, put it on display. So go public with your adoration. Secondly, how do we spread God's glory? Is by when you fulfill your specific purpose. Remember, there's our common purpose, and then there's our specific purpose. God has a specific, unique purpose for everybody born. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He already prepared our unique purpose, and it is our responsibility to get before the Lord and discover our unique purpose and begin to walk in that unique purpose, because as you walk in that unique purpose, your life spreads the glory of God. Listen, all of creation gives glory to God by doing what creation was created to do. I want you to get this. All of creation gives glory to God when it does what it was created to do. So when the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west, it is giving glory to God. Why? Because it's doing what it's created to do. When the stars shine the light in the midnight, they are giving glory to God. Why? Because it's doing what it's created to do. When the ant stores up food for winter and takes all that food into its little bitty cave and stores it up for winter, it is giving glory to God. Why? Because that is what it was created to do. So some of y'all are called to be barbers. Some of y'all are going to spend 30 years being a barber. That's what God has, your specific, your unique kind of purpose in this life, right? So I want to let you know that as you cut hair and as you spray Aquanet on that head, you are giving glory to God. You're giving glory to God. We have, in our church, we have a lot of longshoremen in our church, right? And they work at the docks, right? I want to let you know that when you go work that crane or you bring in that container, as you are doing that, your life is bringing glory to God, because that's part of your specific purpose in this life. And there's going to be people's lives who are going to be changed by what you do. Are you following along? Some of y'all, your specific purpose is to be a mechanic. You're going to spend 30 years being a mechanic. Don't you dare look at that as just some little thing you're doing in life. No, you're going to spend 30 years doing that. That's a huge part of your life. That is one of the reasons why God calls you to be born. As you change that oil, as you work on that job, your life is bringing glory to God. You better show up on time. You better do the work as unto the Lord. All right, is anybody picking up what I'm putting down? So as we fulfill our specific calling, we are spreading God's glory. Here's the last way that we spread God's glory. We leave God's imprint on everything you do. Leave God's imprint on everything you do. Now remember, we are created in God's image, meaning that God stamped us with himself. By him stamping himself on us, we now become, get this, God's stamp in this world. Did you catch the connection? When God stamped himself, mankind, with himself, we now become the stamp of God on this earth. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So we are to leave God's stamp or imprint on everything we touch in this world. Let me try to illustrate this for you, all right? Listen to this. Look at this. The Hebrew word for glory, you know what it means?
The Hebrew word for glory means heavy. It means weighty. That's the Hebrew word for glory. It means heavy. It means weighty. In the Old Testament, when the tabernacle would fill up with the glory of the Lord, oftentimes the priests would fall down. You know why? Because the atmosphere was too heavy. It was too weighty, and they couldn't do the service of the Lord because of the weight of the glory. Someone say weight. Right? So we are called to be God's stamp in this world. We are to stamp our jobs. We are to stamp our families. We are to stamp our schools. We are to stamp everything we go, where we go. We are to leave God's imprint on that situation. So you think of this Plato, right? This Plato represents the world, and the world is soft and it's fickle. And Corinthians says the world is temporary. That means it's subject to change, right? That's why you don't make a permanent decision on temporary situations, because it's going to change, right? We are called to be God's stamp. And as we act like Jesus, as we serve like Jesus, as we respond like Jesus, we're pressing into this world. We're being like Jesus, acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, responding like Jesus. We're putting on print on our kids. We're putting the imprint on our sons and our daughters. And at the end of the day, it may be hard, but you got to press. It may be hard, but you got to press. Your son may not be acting right, but you still got to press. Your daughter may not be listening, but you still got to press. And as you press, at the end of the day, you will leave God's imprint in their life. And let me tell you something about God's imprint. Let me tell you. You know what this means for your sons and daughters? This means they will never fit into this world. This means when they go stray away, like some do, and they try to go party, something will always go wrong. This means they'll never have enough money. They'll never have enough friends. And at the end of the day, they're going to come back crying to their mom and say, "Mama, this world don't like me." And you're going to say, "Welcome home, son. You are never called to fit in, because the stamp of God is upon your life. The fingerprint of God is on your life." That's how we spread God's glory, leaving his imprint. Helps you to look at your work a little different. Helps you to look at your school a little different, that you're not there by accident. You weren't injected into that hard situation by accident. You were injected into that hard situation to leave God's imprint. That's why you're there. When you see your life through the lens of purpose, man, you'll praise God through the midst of hell and hot water. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, this is why he said, "Let your light shine before others." That's acting like Jesus, that's being like Jesus, that's pressing in like Jesus. And what happens when you press in? It says they will see your good deeds and what? And glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, my brothers and sisters, at the end of our life, we should live a life that when they're closing that casket and they go to bury our bodies in that dirt, we should live our life in such a way that somebody, at least one person, looks at that casket and says, "Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God is glorious." The ultimate end of mankind is to glorify God, not us. Not here to stack up money. You're not here just to make a living. No, you're here to glorify God. Make his name great. Make his name great and leave a print, God's print, in this world. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Just for a couple moments. The word of the Lord is strong today. And just for a couple moments, I want us to reflect upon, are we living for the glory of God? I want us to reflect upon that question. Are we living for the glory of God? Are we living out our lives for the glory of God? Let's reflect upon that question. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as everybody remains seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
bowed and every eye closed, let's think about the question. Are we living for the glory of God?